We're pleased to have a Thanksgiving message this morning by Brother Stan Watts, head basketball coach and director of the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics. You're all aware of Brother Watts' recent surgery. We're grateful to have him with us this morning and back on the job coaching our basketball team and carrying his many other responsibilities. Brother Watts is married to Emily Kelly Watts. They are the parents of four children. Two of their children have graduated from BYU, and the other two are currently students here. You may not know that Brother Watts is the brother of Sister Laverne Watts Parmley, president of the Primary Association of the Church. A native of Murray, Utah, Brother Watts received his education at Weber State and BYU. He was an all-around athlete for the Cougars and received many honors and awards before his graduation. He began a coaching career at Millard High School, was subsequently named head coach and director of athletics at Dixie College. Prior to joining the BYU staff in 1947, he was a coach at Jordan High School in Salt Lake City. The author of a popular coaching textbook, Brother Watts has also taken teams around the United States as well as the South Pacific, the Orient, and South America. His teams have won 7 conference championships and 2 NIT championships. 12 of his players have received All-American recognition. He has literally put the Cougars and BYU on the basketball map of the world. He is the recipient of such awards as Coach of the Year for the Rocky Mountain area and the BYU Distinguished Service Alumni Award. He is the 7th coach in basketball history to win 100 games in 5 years, and he's listed in Who's Who in the West. He's the immediate past president of the National Association of the Basketball Coaches of the United States. In addition to all of these activities, Coach Watts has served the church in many capacities, including teaching positions, member of a 70s presidency, elders' quorum presidency, and a high counselor. An able administrator, an internationally known and respected coach, a friend and leader of young people, our brother Stan Watts will now address us.
Thank you very much, and I am delighted and honored to extend the invitation to join with you on this Thanksgiving Day period. It's rather an unusual situation for me to be here. I'm glad to be here, and I express my appreciation publicly to faculty and staff and to the student body and friends for their faith and prayers during my illness and surgery during March. Thanksgiving has a special meaning to me today because the good Lord has seen fit to let me be here. I think I am here today because of an early diagnosis, the skill of medical science, and because the Lord heard many prayers that were offered in my behalf. It was a great thrill the night before the surgery to have a group of students come to my room and say, "Coach, we're with you, we're going to be praying for you, and we hope you'll come through." It was a choice experience one day when the nurse came to my room and said, "Coach, there's a little boy here who would like you to sign his kite." I said, "Bring him down." So a little boy came down the room with his mother. He had a kite, he'd made it himself, such as we used to make when we were kids. We couldn't afford one. And he brought it over to my bed, and I said, "Where do you want me to sign it?" He says, "No, Coach, I don't want you to sign it. I want you to keep it. I made it for you." I noticed on the side he had my name and his, and then on the other side he had in Paul James, too. And then he had in the Cougar Club and the Cougars. And then he dug into his pocket. He came out with 2 little packages of Lifesavers. Said, "Coach, I brought these to you." And I said, "Little son, I can't eat candy." I said, "Why don't you put them back into your pocket and you have them?" He said, "No, I brought them for you." And he placed them on my tray. And then his mother said, "Come on, son. We don't want to tire the coach." And then this little mongoloid boy came to my bed and said, "Coach, I pray for you every night." And I thought, how could I lose? a little mongoloid boy praying for me. I had letters from children. They said, "We're praying for you." And I thought of the words of Christ when he said, "A little child shall lead them." And there's nothing like the unwavering faith of a little child. So today I'm grateful to be here. I'm sure all of us need to take stock of our situation and thank our Heavenly Father, not only for a bounteous harvest, which was the precedent for Thanksgiving, but the fact that He's good to us every day of the year in allowing us to be here, allowing us to have life, allowing us to have life before we came here, life at the present. And I think of a time when the most valuable player of the National League was driving upstate New York one wintry night. He hit a black ice spot on the road. His car went off, rolled off the highway, and he was pinned in the car next to a telephone pole for 2 hours before someone came along and saw the lights of his car burning. They went down, they called an ambulance, got this young man out, took him to the hospital. His diagnosis was a ruptured spinal cord, paralysis, a paraplegic for the rest of his life. And he said, "I wish to God I could have died." And then he said he received letters and telegrams from friends who said, "We're praying that you'll get well," which gave him a lift. And he went through the rehabilitation program. One morning the nurse came in and said, "Today I'm going to teach you how to catch a ball." And Roy Campanella sat in his wheelchair. He had caught Padres and Newcomb and the finest pitchers in the business, and this morning the nurse was going to teach Campy how to catch a ball. He said, "Naturally, I was apprehensive. I didn't have control of my hands." But he said, "When the nurse threw the ball, I was able to pin it against my chest." And he said, "Thank God I'm alive." And he went down to Vero Beach and sat in a wheelchair and helped youngsters like you to become better in their skills. And I think of life hereafter, and I think of the chaplain in the Army who bent over an LDS boy who had been caught in a crossfire in the Battle of the Bulge, who was near death. He looked at the boy's dog tag and saw he was a member of the church. The chaplain was not a member of our church, and he said, "Son, I'm not a member of your church, but would you want me to pray for you?" And this young man said, "Yes, I would like you to pray for me." And so this chaplain knelt down, and two men of God prayed, and the boy said, "I distinctly remember these words of the chaplain. Oh God, help us to so live that when the time comes for us to die, we shall not be afraid to die. And then after we die, we shall not be afraid to live again." So today we should be thankful for life. We should be thankful for health. We don't appreciate our eyes and our vision until we see the blind man. We don't appreciate the legs we walk on until we see the crippled boy or the crippled person. We don't appreciate our bodies until we see the deformed of others. I have a prayer of an unknown Confederate soldier that I always like to read, particularly after we lose a ball game, and it's rather reassuring on Monday. "I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. I think today we need to pause to thank God for our religion, for our free agency, for our belief in God and our neighbors, because we have been told that we are to serve our Heavenly Father first. And the second commandment is to serve our fellow men. And that's life, if you break it down into daily living. That's pretty well what we do each day. We have freedom of reverence. And I think of the Russian cosmonauts in a speech in Seattle when they said, "We don't believe in God. God didn't make our ship. God didn't fly our ship. And when we were circling the earth, we saw no angels. So consequently, there is no God." And then Glenn and Cooper, uttered that famous prayer, and thank God for the chance to fly the ship. Thank God for the nation. Thank God for his fellow men. And thank God for his family and his blessings. I think today we need to be grateful for our parents and our heritage. Today is a special day because it is my mother's birthday. We had a large family of 11 children. Mother and Dad taught us the finer things in life. I sat in this field house one day at commencement time, saw a couple in the Middle Ages, not too well dressed, sat close by as a name was announced. A young man walked across the stand, received his degree. I saw two calloused hands grip each other. I saw a smile come from each person's countenance with a feeling of pride that their son had achieved, and they were proud to be a part of it. I sat in a Stapleton Airport at Denver one day and read of a young man who had gone to his death the previous day in a gas chamber at Canyon City. This young man, 3 years before, had taken his mother to Stapleton Airfield to wish her goodbye on a short vacation trip to Seattle. Unknowing to his mother, he'd placed a homemade bomb mechanism in her luggage. Unknowing to his mother, he had taken out two insurance policies, which were no good because his mother hadn't signed them. And then he sat in fear because the flight was late, and he was afraid that his mission would not be accomplished. The flight was called, and he walked with his mother arm in arm, kissed her goodbye at the gate, and waved to her as she got on the small plane, which 5 minutes later, over the little town of Loveland, crashed in midair, or blew up in midair and crashed, killing his mother and 42 other people. And I thought, what a false sense of values this young man had. And I think of a tall boy who came to play basketball for us. He was not a member of the church. He came into my office just before Christmas with tears coming down his cheeks, and he said, "Coach, I was baptized yesterday." And I said, "That's wonderful. What appealed to you in our religion?" He said, "You know, my mom died when I was 9. He said, "I loved her tremendously." He said, "I've missed her a great deal." He said, "The greatest fear I've had in life that I'll never see my mother again. I've been taught that." He said, "When I came to your campus and the missionaries come to my room to visit with me, they told me that if I would live the commandments, that I'd be able to be with Mom again in the next world." And he said, "That was a great thing for me to know." And he said, "I'm going to have Mom baptized. I'm going to have her genealogy work done." And he said, "I'm thrilled." So you folks today, when you go home for Thanksgiving, put your arm around your mom and dad and thank them for what they're doing for you. And those of you who can't, write them a letter. Let them know you appreciate them, because you'll never have finer friends. I know Mom and Dad sometimes are supposed to be old-fashioned. They don't know anything. My daughter said they were surprised at how smart I got the older they become. I think that's generally true with all of us. So today, may we pause. May we thank our Heavenly Father for all of the things that he's given to us, Sometimes we're a little critical because he doesn't answer all of our blessings, but he's a pretty busy man, I'm sure. And he'll get around to us if we're worthy of it. And may we all appreciate the fact that no man can stand alone. We need the support of our Heavenly Father. We need the support of our fellow men. And may we appreciate the blessings daily. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.